Welcome into the Draftster with your hosts, Zach Blackerby and Christian Page.
Welcome into the Draftster. First episode post-draft. I'm Zach Blackerby, joined by my good friend and co-host, Christian Page. Christian, how you doing, man?
Kind of happy and sad.
It's over.
I always love the post-draft talk.
Yeah.
What we're about to do, but sad as in it's gone.
It's done. There's no more real analysis or projections. Now we can just kind of assess the classes and...
and then move on to 2017.
That's right. We pretty much have planned out the whole summer. We're going to kind of just analyze what just happened. And then once the college football season starts or is gearing up to begin, we're going to kind of shift gears then. So, seen a lot of way too early mock drafts and way too early position power rankings. And it's fun. It's fun to look at. But, yeah, we're gonna pump the brakes and kind of look at what we witnessed last weekend. But before we kind of go into that, none of these guys were drafted, but we need to say congratulations to some of the guys that we had on. Lars Hansen, tackle out of Sacramento State, was picked up by the Denver Broncos, so congratulations to him. Reggie Gilbert, picked up by the Green Bay Packers. And Justin Zimmer, picked up by the Buffalo Bills. How do you think those guys' chances are heading into training camp?
Well, I mean, when a team comes out and takes you as a priority free agent, I mean, I think your chances are high enough to, because you've already made an impact on the organization.
Sure.
I mean, they've already come. They're not want you to come just necessarily try out for the team. They already kind of agreed to terms with you as they want you in there for camp. So I think they're already a leg up on some of the other guys that the organizations are bringing in. But
right.
I mean, these three guys, I mean, we've talked about, we broke them down, and we like a lot in all three of them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's start off talking about the Browns. They had a bunch of picks, and because of all their picks, you know, trading back multiple times in the first round, one was during the draft with the Tennessee Titans, the one before that was obviously for one of the quarterbacks. They had 14 picks, and they used four of them on wide receivers. Four of them on wide receivers, Corey Coleman in the first round, Ricardo Lewis in the fourth round out of Auburn, Jordan Payton in the fifth round out of UCLA, and also in the fifth round, Rashad Higgins out of Colorado State. Christian, what do you think the mindset of the Cleveland Browns are? I mean, they really haven't had a lot of offense the past few years. Haven't had a lot of anything. But definitely not offense. They've had glimpses of good defense in the past, to their credit. Do they think bringing in all these wide receivers right off the bat is going to help them?
I mean, I don't think it hurts them. I mean, we've dealt with the Josh Gordon drama forever now, and I think it's time to move on from that because, I mean, any indication, his future doesn't look bright for the Browns, maybe not even the NFL. Ironically, they go first round with a Baylor receiver with Coleman. But what I like about what the Browns did, and they had, I believe, 12 picks, every receiver they took has a different style of play. They're not necessarily all the same. I mean, you can draw some comparisons with Coleman and Lewis. I think Coleman's more plug-and-play day one type player,
right,
obviously with the 15th overall pick. Jordan Payton, kind of your physical type possession receiver, solid hands, good blocker. And then Higgins, more of that possession receiver, not necessarily your accelerator, but I think he could play day one in the slot.
Higgins' stat line in college was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Touchdown after touchdown. And, yeah, had help from Garrett Grayson in last year's class, the quarterback. But, yeah, I don't want to knock necessarily the strategy they took. Of course, there's a couple reaches and that I'm not too fond of.
Right.
But the receiver, it doesn't bother me taking four guys when you have 12 picks. You know?
Sure. Sure, and you need a spark somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those guys, Corey Coleman's obviously going to bring that. And I think if you hit on one of the other three, I think that's a really good step moving forward. You have to assume that they have their quarterback in RG3 or Cody Kessler. Yeah, you're nodding your head no, and I 100% agree. But let's talk about some of the classes that we liked. Well, we're both picking our top three classes. I'm going to go start off with the Houston Texans. They went pretty much straight offense. They've had good defenses the past few years. Bill O'Brien's been there, and he hadn't really had any toys to play with on offense. He had some Arian Foster action, but he couldn't really stay healthy, as we all know. leading to his release. But they went Will Fuller in the first round, wide receiver out of Notre Dame, Nick Martin, offensive guard, also out of Notre Dame in the second round. In the third round, they went with Braxton Miller, the athlete out of Ohio State. Round four, one of my favorite players in the draft, Tyler Irvin, running back out of San Jose State. Round five, they finally switched it to defense, got K.J. Dillon, safety out of West Virginia. And also in the fifth round, D.J. Reader, nose tackle out of Clemson. Houston's been an offense away from really making a push. And they've been able to keep afloat and have some success just because of the division they're in. Well, now the AFC South isn't bad anymore. I mean, Tennessee's gotten better. Houston's gotten better. Jacksonville's trending upward as well. I think the only team that's not trending upward is the top dog there.
Yeah.
And it's Indianapolis. So you kind of got to wonder, is what they've built as far as Andrew Luck goes, is that going to keep them afloat and keep them at number one in the AFC South? But I think a lot of these guys are plug-and-play guys.
Yeah,
I think Will Fuller comes in day one. Nick Martin comes in and starts day one. Braxton Miller, I think he makes a difference day one. I don't know if he's a starter, but Bill O'Brien's creative enough to get the ball in his hands and just allow him to do some damage. And Tyler Irvin, you know how much I love him.
Yeah, and when you were reading that list, I was just thinking in my head, put him here. And I feel like you said, they are plug-and-play guys.
Yeah.
And I think Nick Martin, I think he's a center day one. They lost Ben Jones at free agency to Tennessee. We've been wanting the Texans to have a receiving core for quite some time after they lost Andre Johnson. Partnering up Will Fuller, give him that vertical threat with the possession receiver of Hopkins, and then adding Braxton Miller, the athlete like you called him, which is exactly what he is. Get the ball in his hands and stuff will happen. And Irvin as a third down receiving threat. I think that offense, you hinted to it, they got Osweiler in the offseason. Lamar Miller's coming in. Irvin is that third down back, and now you have enough weapons on the outside to really excel offensively.
Did you see DeAndre Hopkins' tweet after they drafted some of these guys?
I'm sure it was a happy tweet.
Yeah, he said no more double teams, which is true.
So true.
And he might get them sometimes, but it's definitely going to allow other people to get open. So he has to be excited about that. And if you're a Houston Texans fan, you have to be ecstatic because – sure, you didn't go defense early, but they've got enough on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that the past few years. So
yeah, I think that whole division itself did really well in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. Houston,
Tennessee, Jacksonville. Indianapolis was okay, but they addressed the offensive line needs that I think they needed to.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the New York Giants here. We weren't necessarily fond of Eli Apple as a cornerback prospect. They missed out on a couple guys at 10 in the first round that they liked Leonard Floyd a lot. They liked Jack Conklin a lot, which explains why Tennessee jumped ahead of them to select him at 8. But I like the immediacy of this class. I think Sterling Shepard's going to be partner great with Odell Beckham Jr. I think giving Eli Manning another target right there, and I think Sterling Shepard as a great route runner. I don't want to just stick him in the slot. I don't want to limit him because I think he has other ability. So I think playing a number two to Odell Beckham would be great there. Darian Thompson, we both like him. I think a big-time playmaking safety, free safety, strong safety. Put him at the line of scrimmage. So let him go make a play. I think they need that in the secondary in New York. And Paul Perkins to the fifth round I thought was a great value pick. New York has had a hard time staying healthy and having a run offense to take more, I guess, responsibility for Eli, dropping back, taking a lot of hits, throwing interceptions, on and on and on. B.J. Goodson could be a plug-and-play guy, inside linebacker in Clemson. I got a late start on him watching film, but I think he brings a lot of intangibles and athleticism to that spot that they need. And then Jarrell Adams, your number two tight end.
Yeah.
I believe my number four tight end. Getting him in the sixth round I think is a pretty solid value pick there. And I think you give Manning a tight end to work with in the red zone and a sneaky target off the line of scrimmage. I think Adams can threaten the seam there. But, you know, like you said with Houston – sorry, I'm going on and on and on, but I think you said with Houston having the plug-and-play guys, I think New York definitely nailed that too.
Yeah. Do you expect Eli Apple to come in and play day one?
I don't really want him. With the 10th overall pick, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's ready, but if they take the bumps and bruises that it's going to take, and they knew that coming in. I don't think anybody thinks he's a polished product yet because he's not. And if you do, then you need to reevaluate how you evaluate cornerbacks. But from where they got him, probably.
Okay.
But I think it might just depend on how the preseason goes. Kind of similar to what Trey Waynes went through in Minnesota last year. I think there's a little more immediacy for the cornerback position in New York than there was Minnesota.
Sure.
But kind of just that learning curve. And Waynes kind of developed more as the season went on. And I think Apple can do the same.
Okay. And I really like the Darian Thompson pick. That's probably my favorite pick of theirs regarding value. But let's face it, Christian, when New York wins games this year, it's not going to be because of their defense. It's going to be because of what they do on offense. And I think Sterling Shepard and Paul Perkins are going to be able to contribute to that right away. And you talked about him partnering up with Odell Beckham, but Victor Cruz appears to finally be healthy as well.
Yeah, that's a big-time tree right there.
Yeah, and I think those guys are pretty similar, actually, Shepard and Cruz. And just having those guys running underneath while the defense has to focus on Odell Beckham, yeah, I agree with you. I think that can be pretty dangerous. And another class that I was really excited about was the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, we all know that Jalen Ramsey fell to him at fifth overall. Miles Jack, the linebacker out of UCLA, a lot of questions about his knee. I'm still kind of shocked that a team didn't take a risk on him earlier, especially one of the teams picking later in the first round, you know, one of the more established teams. But regardless, he falls to Jacksonville with a fifth pick of the second round. Yannick, I'm going to butcher his name.
Ngakoue.
I like what he does. Defensive end out of Maryland. Sheldon Day, I think this is a great value pick in the fourth round out of Notre Dame. Let's see, Tyrone Holmes, linebacker out of Montana. Not going to lie, I don't know a whole lot about him. If you're coming out of Montana, I'm assuming you're raw. But he's not going to come in and play right away, but that's okay. Brandon Allen, quarterback out of Arkansas, a guy that we both liked a lot. And Jonathan Woodard, defensive end out of Central Arkansas. Brandon Allen is a perfect backup to Blake Bortles, in my opinion.
It is. I mean, I hate it for him because I'm such a Brandon Allen fan, and I want him to go somewhere where he could play more immediately, if that makes sense, because Bortles is, you know, he's a young gun. But, you know, he's one injury away. I don't want to sound negative, but one injury away from getting that. But I think,
sure,
yeah, like you said, a perfect situation for Allen and a pretty good value pick in the sixth round with a 201st pick for Jacksonville to get Allen.
Yeah, no doubt. But Jalen Ramsey's the guy who's starting right away. Miles Jack's the guy who's going to start as soon as he gets healthy. And I think Sheldon Day comes in and starts right away. And their offense looked good at the end of last season. It was really starting to click. Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles finally got that connection. One of the better connections in the NFL, I think. Really underrated. But, yeah, this defense is what needed to step up. And I think Jacksonville drafted and addressed that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And in the past, they've addressed the offense, like you said, with Bortles, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee. You know, goes on and on. Julius Thomas in free agency, or trade. I can't remember. Was he free agency or trade?
Who?
Julius Thomas.
Free agency.
Okay. And then, but like you said, this was the defensive draft class for them. With Ramsey, like you said, day one. Miles Jack, if you can get 4 or 5 years out of Miles Jack with a second round pick, there's that cartilage issue, which never sounds good, and I'm sure that's the reason why it scared a lot of teams off.
Yeah.
But if you can get a solid 4 or 5 years with Miles Jack at maybe 100%, that's absolutely okay with me
sure.
as a second-round pick with his talent. And Ngakoue bringing that pass-rushing ability. And remember, I mean, I think you can pretty much add Dante Fowler to this class too based on the redshirt season.
That's a great point.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, definitely hit a home run with offense the past couple seasons, and now I think they did a great job on defense with the Jaguars.
I'm a little surprised they didn't take a stab with a late-round pick on an offensive lineman just to build a little bit of depth there. But now I think after this class, offensive line is the weakness of that team. I think that's the low point. But the Jaguars are definitely trending in the right direction.
Yeah, they have been for quite some time, and they definitely did a good job this past weekend. I'm gonna stay in the division. I hinted to the AFC South having a pretty good overall draft class.
Yeah, we're talking about three of them already.
Yeah, that's right. And here's the third one, the Tennessee Titans. I wasn't crazy. I told you this before the show. I wasn't crazy about maybe the order and the selection that they went in, but I think based on team needs, I think, and a couple value picks, I think they did a solid job. Obviously, Conklin was their best tackle available at that time. Like I said, they traded up the top 10 to get him. Kevin Dodd, a raw pass rusher, but if you notice when Javon Curse announced the pick, he said outside linebacker. So that was a hint. You know, Dick LeBeau's offense, just stand them up, rush the passer. And I think that's what you do with Dodd day one. I think that makes a lot of sense there. Austin Johnson was fine with me. I think he brings, if he can develop more pass rushing skills in the interior, makes a lot of sense. The talented defensive tackle out of Penn State. Derrick Henry was a little bit of a surprise. I was texting you earlier about before DeMarco Murray came in, Henry in the second round would have made a lot of sense for Tennessee. But I think Murray and Henry can kind of bounce off each other. I mean, that Tennessee, they're going to do a lot of cutting in the backfield with the running backs because, I mean, they have probably 8 running backs on their roster right now.
And they've made it clear they want to run the football next year.
Oh, yeah. And then, like you said, you texted me during the draft. You said, do I like the Tratola pick for me being a Titans fan? I said I loved it in the 6th round. And then today I get a message on my phone. The Titans will not pick up Chance Warmack's 5th-year option.
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, how much do they believe in Tratola? But, yeah, like you said, they created the identity. We're going to pound the football.
Sure.
Bringing Murray in, Henry, Jack Conklin in the 1st round, Sebastian Tratola in the 6th round. And I like kind of the underrated pick of Tajay Sharpe from Massachusetts. I think
possession guy.
Yeah, definitely possession guy, and I think that makes a lot of sense with in the 5th round. And couple corners, I wish they kind of addressed that a little earlier, but I think you have a couple of small school guys with LaShawn Sims from Southern Utah and Mr. Irrelevant with Kalen Reed, the corner out of Southern Miss. So from a needs perspective, I think Tennessee did pretty well from that standpoint. Like I said, a couple reaches maybe. Kevin Byard, Middle Tennessee State in the 3rd round. Might have been a somewhat of a reach, but good player. Had 19 interceptions at the school record there. But, yeah, overall, I think Titans did a pretty solid job.
Do you think Conklin was worth trading up for?
Personally, I had Decker as this next tackle.
Yeah.
But, like I said, with the Giants wanting him, I'm sure word got around. And, you know, if it's their guy, it's their guy. And
sure.
We talk about it. You know, we talk about it more with quarterbacks. But if Conklin was their guy and they've already announced him, he's going to start at right tackle and Taylor Lewan at left tackle. You know, if that's what their vision was, they had enough ammo to go up and get it.
And if you want to run the ball, Conklin may be a little bit better than Decker.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I had Decker as my number 2 tackle mm-hmm. behind Tunzel. So I agree with you there. But if you want that identity, you know, drafting Derrick Henry, drafting Tratola, coming out and saying, hey, I want to run the football, maybe that's not too bad of a pick. And it's probably worth trading up some of your later picks to get there. The LA Rams are a team that I thought had a pretty interesting draft. Obviously, Jared Goff going as the 1st overall pick out of California. Then they don't pick again till the 4th round. They get Tyler Higbee, the tight end out of Western Kentucky. Another 4th round pick, Pharaoh Cooper, wide receiver out of South Carolina. 6th round pick, they got Tamarik Hemingway out of South Carolina State. Also in the 6th round, Josh Forrest, linebacker out of Kentucky, and Mike Thomas, also in 6th round, wide receiver out of Southern Miss. Twitter blew up when Michael Thomas got drafted. A lot of people kind of latched onto him as one of the guys that was going to be a late round pick and a really solid value. And I think bringing him in along with some pass catchers at the tight end position and Pharaoh Cooper to help out your young quarterback, kind of let them grow together in that offense, I think that's going to help a lot long term. LA has some good players on their roster. A lot of them are on the defensive side of the ball. I think their offensive line's okay. It's not great, but it's okay. And you have Todd Gurley there. So you're gonna be able to help out Jared Goff, your young rookie quarterback that you paid a lot to get, sacrificed a lot of players to get. And I think I really like what LA did here as far as, okay, we got our guy. Let's help him out as much as possible. We'll worry about the other positions later. Let's just worry about Goff. But on the other side, I really like Josh Forrest. You know this. And he's a bit raw, sure. I mean, when he got to Kentucky, he was a wide receiver. And now he's playing inside linebacker.
Which is nuts.
It is nuts.
For his massive size.
Yeah. He comes across as a little lanky, but LA is going to change that a little bit once he's on an NFL team eating NFL food, if you will, NFL training style. So I like Josh Forrest's upside. I also like Pharaoh Cooper a lot in the 4th round. I'm excited to see what they're able to do with him, just trying to get the ball in his hands. I think he's a poor man's Randall Cobb. And, I mean, we saw what LA was able to do with Tavon Austin last year. I think they're kind of similar as far as what they do. And so that offense could be pretty fun to watch next year.
It's funny. You pointed out the offense player. We have a quarterback, a tight end, wide receiver, tight end, and a wide receiver. So I think it's safe to say that they need some offensive firepower.
Yeah.
Though they have Gurley, but that's about it almost. And like you said, I've preached about it on this podcast ever since we started. Once you have your guy, you build around him. You give him targets. I think Tyler Higbee in the fourth round, I mean, he was my second tight end. He had that bar fight, whatever incident and everything like that. But if he can get his head screwed on right, I mean, he has some of the best hands in this class, including wide receivers. So I think that would be a great hookup with him and Goff for years. And you said with Cooper, just a plug-and-play guy, I think, from day one. But, yeah, I think the Rams feel comfortable enough on defense that they definitely went all offense in this draft.
Right.
All right, my next team is the Baltimore Ravens. I think not necessarily getting Ronnie Stanley the slide, but when Baltimore didn't take Laremy Tunsil at 6, you knew something was going on with Tunsil. We won't dive into that all that much because if you have any kind of social media or a computer, you've heard about it already. But
What happened?
Yeah, I know, right? Stanley at 6, though, having that ability to plug and play, whether it's at left tackle or right tackle, depending on how you view Eugene Monroe's future status. Correa out of Boise State, we were talking about him before the show. May not work scheme-wise for a lot of different teams, but we both like how he's going to be viewed as in Baltimore. With Courtney Upshaw leaving in free agency, I think this makes a lot of sense in the second round for Baltimore. Bronson Kafusi, a defensive end, line him up an outside linebacker. I think he has that speed. Tavon Young, we talked about him in the cornerback show. I think having that feisty demeanor, he just plays like a Raven, that undersized, gritty-type player. Alex Lewis, a pretty coveted offensive tackle out of Nebraska in the fourth round. Chris Moore, a lot of people on ESPN were raving about his ability. Matt Judon, another pass rusher. Kenneth Dixon in the fourth round, though that backfield has Justin Forsett and Buck Allen. I think Kenneth Dixon is probably the second best running back behind Forsett on that offense. Long term, he might be even a better fit situation-wise. Keenan Reynolds, we both like him. And then Maurice Kanade from Virginia in the sixth round. So I think from a needs perspective, the same with the Tennessee Titans. I think the Ravens hit the nail on the head for a lot of guys. And the Ravens roster is pretty good. It's playoff ready when I'm looking at it. Injury bug was huge last year.
Sure.
Them and the Patriots, I think, were the two most injury-prone teams last year.
I think like over 60% of Baltimore's cap was on IR.
It wasn't necessarily injury. It was injuries to their top players. Forsett, Steve Smith, Flacco, Suggs, go on and on and on. But, yeah, from a need standpoint, I think they nailed the head on a lot of them and hit the head on the nail. Can't get my metaphors right.
It's okay. That's fine. What do you think the best value pick for the Ravens was?
Well, see, it's kind of hard because they had a slew of fourth-round picks. Yeah. So it's – I think everybody they got in the fourth round was pretty about where you project them. Kenneth Dixon, I had, I think, a second-round grade on him, so I think that was a pretty solid pick. I think we were talking about before the show, there's a lot of players that went where they were projected to be, with the exception of some. From a value perspective, I mean, Willie Henry, I think, was a nice pick out of Michigan. And Kenneth Dixon, like I said, I had a second-round grade on him. He went fourth, 134th overall, so – those guys, if you want to say value-wise, I think those would be the two to pick. But I think everybody kind of went in the slot they were supposed to go for the Ravens.
Okay, let's talk about some of the guys that teams picked up kind of late, but we kind of expect them to do well. I don't want to necessarily call them a sleeper. Let's call them more of a value pick, if you will. But I'm going to start this off with Kentrell Brothers, a linebacker out of Missouri. They have him listed as an outside linebacker here. I think he's going to be able to play inside and outside once he gets accustomed to the league. But he was a fifth-round pick, 160th overall. I think this is a guy that really was kind of under the radar all draft season. And I don't really understand why. When I watched his tape, he did everything you asked him to do. He was able to cover. He wasn't the best at covering, but he was better than most linebackers in the draft. His fundamentals were solid, and I just think he does everything that a defensive coordinator is going to ask him to do. And I think he's a guy that, I mean, I'm sure the Vikings know what they got with him, but I think he's going to pan out to be a lot better than what everyone thinks right now.
Yeah, and I think he ran a 4.9 at the combine, I want to say, so that might have questioned his play speed. But when you're watching him on film, I don't necessarily – I mean, he's a 4.6, 4.7 guy.
Yeah.
And but ultra productive at Missouri. And like you said, inside linebacker and that Vikings linebacker core, you have Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, who had a great season last year.
Sure.
And now you add another productive college player with Kentrell Brothers. The Vikings are building a future right there with
Zimmer, right.
And they're looking really, really good for long term.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a guy that obviously fell. He was a big talk on Twitter. Andrew Billings, the nose tackle, defensive tackle out of Baylor. We were sitting here scratching our heads wondering where he's going to go.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what was going on. I mean, I had a first-round grade on him. He ends up going fourth round, 122nd overall to the Bengals. And he's not your interior pass rusher. And we're seeing the NFL evolve into this pass-first league. I don't know many nose tackles that are excellent pass rushers. I don't know if there ever has been one, really.
Yeah.
Unless you want to put Aaron Donald over the zero tech and just, you know, he can do whatever he wants. You can put him at corner and he'll be fine. But I don't know if that alone made him slip all the way to the fourth. I'm still scratching my head on it, but the Bengals get another value pick in that. And, I mean, they had a pretty good draft, too, going back to last segment. But, yeah, I don't necessarily know why Billings slipped that far, but the fourth round with first-round grades all over the board. I mean, I'm not the only one. A lot of people had him as penciled in as a first-round draft pick. I think in our mock draft we had him going to 21 to Washington, I believe.
Yeah.
So going 21, 101 picks later to Cincinnati.
I think the Bengals in their war room, they just they have Twitter pulled up and they see who are people freaking out about right now. And it was Billings at that point, and later it's another guy that you're going to talk about. But the next guy I'm going to talk about, I'm going to stick with linebackers. Scooby Wright went the seventh round, 250th overall. I think I had a fifth round value on Scooby Wright, but one of Cleveland's many picks, one of the few non wide receivers. I'm just kidding, but I think
LOL.
I think Scooby Wright is an athletic guy, and with them going with that whole money ball approach, I don't know what that looks like from a football standpoint, but I would assume versatility and athleticism would have something to do with it.
And I production, think, maybe.
Yeah,
for what he did at Arizona,
absolutely,
is ridiculous.
Absolutely. And his name is Scooby, and that is awesome. That's worth a seventh-round pick alone. But, no, I like that pick there, and I just can't believe he lasted that long. The 250th player in the draft. But, yeah, Scooby Wright's a value pick that I think people need to look out for.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with winning all kind of awards that he did, and he had some injury issues, but I just remember seeing him almost single-handedly beat Oregon when Marcus Mariota was there.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
Just, like you said, he's a guy that probably – or he plays faster than what his times indicate and what his measurables indicate. I'm going to go with – well, I'll just go to the other Bengal that you were hinting to earlier.
Okay.
Christian Westerman, a fifth-round pick, the 161st overall to Cincinnati.
Such a good value.
The offensive guard out of Arizona State. I valued him as my number three offensive guard, Whitehair and Garnett. Being Garnett, the first rounder, being one and two above him. And I just from the straight value or the definition of value pick in the draft, I think Westerman's definitely one. I think he does a lot of things well. He did well at the combine. I think he has that ability to stand up to bull rushers and has a little finesse to his game. And he's a pretty clean prospect. And to get him in the fifth round is unbelievable.
Yeah. And he's a safe guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he might not be super plug and play, but he's a guy that's going to start in the NFL.
Yeah, I could definitely. I think when we were talking about the offensive line show, that Garnett and Whitehair, you could see him playing in the league for 10 years.
I think
Westerman's not far behind.
Really?
I mean,
you have that high praise for him?
Yeah, and I think he played more tackle in high school and kind of developed into a guard more. And I think he can play some center too, but he has 40 something reps, I think. I don't know if it's that, but 40 something reps of. I don't know. I mentioned it on one of the shows.
His arms are pretty short, though, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, still, heck, 40 I mean, reps is still strong.
Yeah,
I'm not discounting that.
Yeah,
but
this conversation. Just a natural strength, and I think he can hold up to a lot of NFL guys, but I don't think his downside, I don't think there is much of one.
Sure.
I think he has the chance to be a solid guard starter for Cincinnati going forward, and, I mean, he has the potential to be a one of the top of that position in the NFL.
Christian, how is Devontae Booker still on the board towards the end of the fourth round, 130th overall, in Denver? Denver knows how to draft. And as a Patriots fan, that drives me crazy. Now, Devontae Booker is a guy that can do it all, and I think he's going to be able to help Paxton Lynch out a lot right off the bat. I think he's going to be on third downs a lot. He also can run it in between the tackles. I think it was you that wrote the report on him, and you called him a Swiss Army knife out of the backfield. And I think that's exactly what it is. And he looks like a Gary Kubiak-style running back.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to succeed a lot, and he's going to make a lot of people regret not drafting him the 129 picks before him.
Yeah, outside of Ezekiel Elliott, I think Devontae Booker is the most complete running back in this class.
And he was the fourth back taken?
Yeah, I believe so, fourth back.
That's crazy to me. I would have never thought. And the guys that went in front of him were C.J. Prosise.
Kenyon Drake.
And Kenyon Drake.
So those are situational guys.
Yeah.
Right now, they are. And, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, fifth. Derrick Henry went before him as
well.
That's
right. That's
and
right.
Elliott. So and, fifth.
I guess the meniscus came into play with Booker, but because I think he was supposed to play at one of the All-Star games and he didn't. I don't know if that was for medical reasons. So maybe something didn't check out medically for that. But he was never on the injury evaluation list of the notable, you know, rechecks.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know. But that is you talk about perfect fits. That is an awesome fit for Booker in Denver.
As outside of returning kicks, I don't know what Kenyon Drake does better than Devontae Booker. I mean, he's good in space, but so is Booker, you know? I mean, Derrick Henry, that makes sense, you know? He's going to fit what the Titans obviously want to do in the future. C.J. Prosise, I think he's a third down back in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Seattle even drafted Alex Collins later in the draft to be that first and second down guy but with Thomas Rawls. I think he's pretty similar to Thomas Rawls.
Yep.
Devontae Booker can do what C.J. Prosise does, I think. And I thought he did it better, but Seattle didn't think so, the Titans didn't think so, and the Dolphins didn't think so. So,
yeah, well, it's when you're projecting running backs, I mean, not projecting running backs, when you have your running back rankings, you know, I had Elliott and then Booker too, and obviously, like you said, some guys went before them. Where they get drafted doesn't depend on where teams rank them necessarily. It's all scheme fit.
Running backs
is huge with scheme fits because – You have a third down back, you have your first and second down backs, and sometimes you have your situational, you know, flex out and uses a receiver like an Irvin or a special teams guy like Drake and Irvin will both be.
Sure.
So with the book, but like you said, with Prosise going ahead of him, I think Booker would make a lot of more sense.
I just think Booker can do the same stuff that those other guys can do.
Better and complete. Can do everything in my eyes.
It's a better use of a roster spot, but hey, I don't know. Whatever. Who's your last guy that you want to talk about?
I'm going to go with Sherron Peake, the Clemson wide receiver, fell all the way to the New York Jets in the seventh round.
That's
which is
crazy.
Unbelievable. Of all the offseason talk I heard about Peake's possibly going no lower than the third round, going all the way to the seventh round.
You think it's because of injury?
Maybe, but, I mean, he doesn't have the best hands, but, I mean, just he's 6'2", 210 pounds, runs a 4.45. He doesn't have the greatest strength, but had a 6.93 cone, which is pretty impressive, just a notch below Laquon Treadwell.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just seventh round, the buzz was going surrounding him coming into the draft. It really surprises me that he dropped all the way to seventh round, but kind of maybe a little, I don't want to say passing the torch, but kind of reminds me somewhat of a Brandon Marshall who was in New York and had a really good season this past season.
Sure.
Just – the link, though, Brandon Marshall has more height with him, but they play to that 6'4", 6'5", caliber. And Peake can beat you down the field. I mean, it's those Clemson receivers with Watkins, Bryant, now Peake. And Hopkins has that a little underrated ability to beat you downfield. And I think Peake carries that same ability there. And, yeah, I like his size. I like his speed. Like I said, his hands aren't, you know, consistent.
Sure.
But as a seventh-round pick, you know, heck, Will Fuller went in the first round.
Yeah.
And
is Clemson a wide receiver you?
I don't know who else is.
Yeah, if they're not, I don't know who else is. Yeah, you're exactly right. Let's talk about guys who we think teams reached for and why. I'm going to start off with my own team, New England drafting Jacoby Brissett in the third round, 91st pick overall, quarterback out of NC State. I just don't know how to describe this. I don't know how to make sense of it, other than the whole Bill Belichick knows what he's doing, which is a great argument. It seems like every year he gets a little more off pace of what he's doing. But I mean, we've seen rookies with the New England Patriots succeed and succeed right away. I don't know if this was to push Jimmy Garoppolo to possibly, you know, some competition in camp for that. But I don't know. You could get him later. You could get him later, and there were other quarterbacks on the board. And he doesn't really seem like that Patriot quarterback, that big mobile guy. Because Brissett was a guy that he can make all the throws, but he seemed to be so much better outside of the pocket.
Yeah, I totally agree. And he's an inconsistent player, but I think if you add that NFL coaching, now the third round, like you said, I don't understand it. But there's some times where he looks, and I think I wrote it in my report, there's sometimes he looks like Jameis Winston. I'm 100% serious. And there's other times where he looks like, I don't know, Brett Hundley from UCLA, yeah, now with Green Bay. He just has that inconsistency. But at times, like, he can thread the needle and he looks like a top quarterback. And at other times, he doesn't. And maybe the Patriots saw those positives in his game and were like, you know, we can work with that.
Right.
And we can develop that into maybe a number two quarterback. I don't necessarily see the starting traits in him, but, you know, the Patriots, we have question marks. I mean, there's plenty of question marks in this draft class we were talking about earlier, but they turn them into good players. You know, you had Malcolm Butler, Logan Ryan, the list goes on and on.
They really didn't draft Malcolm Butler, though.
Well, it's a good point. So
I'm just kidding. All right, who you got?
I'm going to go with – Well, I'll go with the first rounder, Garnett. I almost said Kevin Garnett. Wow.
Wrong sport,
I just have Garnett
wrong
written
sport
on my hair. Joshua Garnett, the offensive guard out of Stanford. I like the player. Like I said, he's my number two rated offensive guard. I didn't understand. I don't mind the selection in the first round. I just didn't understand the trade.
Yeah. If you're already sitting there and you want him, take him.
Cool.
That makes sense. But they gave up a fourth and a sixth round for him, I think.
Yeah, and I don't want to say he's not worth it because, like I said, he's one of the top offensive linemen in this class, but I just don't understand trading up in the first round to get an offensive guard, especially when you're San Francisco and there's other things you may need. That just didn't really make sense. Caught us off guard when we were watching the draft together. And, it's an interesting pick, I guess, to say the least.
Right, right. My other guy is Roberto Aguayo. It's always fun when you're watching the draft and someone trades up for a kicker, especially in the second round. Aguayo, obviously out of Florida State, taken with a 59th pick overall late in the second round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I just don't understand it. I don't understand why, one, you would trade up for a kicker. If you're sitting there once again, maybe. I mean, the guy never missed an extra point and it was extremely accurate. As far as field goals go, didn't have a lot of touchbacks, so I don't know how much power is there, but it must be a lot, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers must believe it's a lot to draft a kicker in the second round. Do you think any of this has to do, Christian, with moving the extra points back? Do you think that makes kickers a little more valuable?
Maybe. I don't know about second round valuable.
I'm just trying to find sense of it all.
I know, and I mean, he's one of the best kickers in college football history.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's never missed an extra point, though it was from like the 5-yard line instead of wherever they do it now in the NFL. And I mean, that's just, it just almost feels like a cocky pick in a way where it's like, we don't need anybody else second round. We're going to go get a kicker. Like, really? Like, it just, and the Bucs aren't in that situation. Like, that sounds like a total Patriots pick. We were just talking about them. And you can make sense out of it for some things. But, you know, I mean, that was their second round pick, I think, because they had Noah Spence earlier.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess they saw it as an extra pick. Like, you know, what the heck? We'll go draft a kicker. So, but, yeah, trying to make sense of it. You can make sense of it as he was the best kicker available. Not the best player available, but his best kicker available. So I guess that's the only sense you can make out of it. But
Before we keep going to talk about our last guy, let's just talk about the two picks before Robert Aguayo.
Okay. The first, who were before?
Well, you got Noah Spence, and you got Vernon Hargraves.
Oh. I thought you meant like an order.
Vernon Hargraves. That's all. I just wanted to get my Vernon Hargraves man crush out of here. All right, who's the last?
Hey, I kind of have a small crush on Spence.
Okay.
A little bit. So
cool.
Let's be Bucks fans.
All right.
Bucks fans.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
We'll go get a Aguayo jersey.
Yeah. I wonder if they're selling them. Surely.
They have to.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
Well, within the Florida area, Tampa, him being from Florida State, might have
some.
Oh,
yeah, that's
course.
Right. Oh, and they got Vernon Hargreaves, too. I didn't even think about them both being from Florida.
Who else they got? You got the list?
I'm looking.
You got any other Florida?
No. Unless they're like went to high school there, but
yeah.
None of the, I mean, North Carolina Central, UCLA, Oklahoma, Northwestern, but.
Oh.
Whatever. All right, last guy we're talking about for the day. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Kevin Byard, the defensive back from Middle Tennessee. He got selected in the third round by Tennessee Titans. I like Byard. I don't like him that high. And I hinted to him when we're talking about the Titans. I just feel like maybe with Kendall Fuller still available, Will Redmond still available, Justin Burris, who I was high on, still available. And if he's going to play cornerback, I think there's a learning curve for him there. Obviously, Titans being close to him from Middle Tennessee may have saw something that we didn't. He said, you see these picks and you don't try to your reaction is like, oh, they reached, but, you know, they do more extensive work than we do. No, they don't. I didn't mean to say that.
Not at the draft.
No, that's right. But just from value perspective, I think it was a little bit of a reach. But, you know, ball skills, 19 interceptions, is tied with Darian Thompson, who was another guy that was available that they could have selected.
Where did Byard go to school?
Middle Tennessee State.
Small school stud.
You've played that two times in a row, and I never caught it.
That's fine.
I should have. When you ask questions, because I already said that.
No, I know. Yeah. I just kind of saw the button there, and I'm like, I haven't hit that yet. But
I think Middle Tennessee, I don't know if it's Middle Tennessee or Middle Tennessee State. It used to be State. It's kind of like Troy and Troy State. So if you're a Middle Tennessee State or Middle Tennessee fan or follower, tweet us that. That'll be your duty at the end of the show. Tweet us, is it Middle Tennessee or Middle Tennessee State?
Okay.
Because Christian does not know.
Fair enough. All right. Fun show as always, Christian. We will we'll be doing more of these. We'll try to do them every week throughout the off season. If there's a kind of a series or whatever that you guys want to hear us do or a way that you can get involved, please do that. Tweet us at DraftsterPod, or you can go to thedraftster.com and click the Contact Us button, or you can write on our Facebook wall at facebook.com/thedraftster. I mean, we want to do what you guys want to hear, and we've gotten great feedback so far, and we hope that you continue that. But also subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at DraftsterPod. Like us on Facebook. Thank you for listening to The Draftster.
Thanks for listening to The Draftster. Be sure to subscribe, follow us on Twitter at DraftsterPod, and visit our website at DraftsterPod.com.